what's on our heart. I'm excited for what God's going to do in the midst of us. Let's give her up for Dina McClure. Come on, Dina.
I need to always ask, okay, good, there's a clock. I need clocks to go by. Well, there you go. I am so honored, you know, I'm excited, but I'm honored to be here on this Sunday with my friend Miranda from the States as well, and Ricky and Emma and our team, and like, Noel saying, Pastor John is over at the other church. We love Ireland. And we love you because Ireland is the people. And I'm especially honored this morning because I was telling the team on the way here that I never take it for granted when I'm asked to come in and have the privilege to stand in a pulpit, especially when a church has gone through some difficult times, through loss and through other things. That's usually, you know, Pastor will want the pulpit for that time. And for Noel to hand that over and with trust, you know, I just honor that. And I honor you this morning. And I know that God has a word that, in fact, he has several things that's on his heart that he's wanting to say. So I always smile because I always love seeing how he does it. Don't you? I love seeing how God imparts. Can I come down? Okay. I got to get with the people. But it's like he's a master chef. He loves to cook gourmet meals. And what he does is he serves up a gourmet meal that is for you, one differently that's for you, Sharon, one differently that's for you, Adele, and so on and so forth, although it's out of the same thing I say. So I'm going to pray this morning, and here's what I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, you are my dear friend. I love you so much, and I love how you take everything that is the Father's and you take everything that is the Son's and you manifest them to us. I'm inviting you to come in this morning and I want to work with you to manifest the heart of the Father to these people and the heart of Jesus. I'm asking you that take the things that you put in my mouth and cause it to go as many directions as there are people here this morning or in the sound of my voice that will fit just where they're at for just what they need. I thank you for the spirit of breakthrough that's in this house. I thank you for the spirit of breakthrough that you've put within my life. And Father, such as I have, I bring to these people this morning. And I thank you, Father God, that we all get to go to new levels. Take us to a new level, Holy Spirit. Take us to a new level. And with what you put within our hearts this morning, I ask you to mark us and brand us with a branding iron of heaven, that we might never forget, that it would be a word we carry with us for all eternity. And so, with that said, Lord, I'm asking you for eternal fruit. I'm asking you to produce fruit that will remain and abide, and that the fowls of the air cannot come and steal. I give them notice right now that the fowls of the air cannot come and steal anything that is sown. For, Father, I release the spirit of understanding, which is you, Holy One. So bring understanding and develop it and just break forth with revelation in everyone's hearts this morning. For I'm asking you to do this in his name, Jesus. Amen and amen. We've been here, what, maybe 5 to 10, 7 days, something. I don't know, 7 days probably more like it. And, last time I came, it was a time with the team and we were going to go sightseeing, and we drove up the North Coast with my friend Julie, and we got sidetracked with doing some ministry, so we got a late start. So as we were driving up, we drove past the rope bridge, and I went, I'll do it next time. Let's get to Giant's Causeway. So we got up to Giant's Causeway. It started raining. It was too late. They were getting ready to close, and I said, I'll do it next time. So we went through all of these sites, and I never got to stop to go to any of them. So I said, next time I come, I'm going to go see some of the sites of Ireland so I can get my feet on the ground. And so this time we got to do that, and you have such a beautiful nation. You have such a beautiful country. And I, this morning as I woke up, I was telling Miranda, I woke up with a dream. I might tell them a little bit. But I heard the Lord really begin to refer to this island as the Island of Hope. And I'm going to start calling you that as your nickname. I love making up nicknames, you know, the spirit for people. But this, not only are you Ireland, but you're the island of hope, and you're the, you're Hope Island. And I believe that I'm making this declaration over you, that people would be drawn to this place because of hope. It might not look like it right now, but that's how God loves to show up and show off. He loves to take the things that the enemy has meant for bad, and he loves to turn them for good. And I believe that this is a nation that is going to carry a message of hope to the nations. I am a result of this nation, and because of what the dispersing of all the Irish throughout the generations, you know, I believe that God is causing, it's a scientific term, the law of center, where something begins, it goes out, and then it eventually comes back. It's a law. And so I've come back to my homeland, and everything that I am is because of my generations that have gone before me. And I love what I'm receiving, even from the Lord as I'm being here. I've had so many downloads, and so I might share a few of those with you as I'm ministering. But I really felt, you know, I used to be a missionary in South Africa back in the 80s, and I lived in South Africa for 8 years. A lot of the stories I tell go back to that time. Because that time was a very formative time in my life. Miranda works with a man that I went to the ministry through his ministry, Kim Clement. And I worked for a year with Kim, and I've known him for 30-something years. But so many of those first things that I experienced in those years are things that I carry with me to this day. In South Africa, the year that I left was 1990. And as I was getting ready to leave, I said, Lord, what is the word before I move back to America? What is a word that I can impart to the ones I love so much? Lord said, Dina, bring hope. They need hope. And you know, I've been in places in my lifetime and in journeys that I've done, and this is one of them, where I believe God is speaking hope at a level that not many other nations are going to experience and hear. But that it's going to be a life message for Ireland to carry, and is the message of hope. I'm going to share a few things, but I'm going to tell some stories too, because I believe, you know, now abideth these three things, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And in the law of the first mention, I'll give you a little laws of interpretation. Law of first mention is the one that's mentioned first is the most important. But in this, it says the greatest is love. So where it says love, you can work your way backwards. Love is the most important. Hope is the second. And faith is the third. Sometimes we think faith would be, you know, second or first. No, everything works by love. But, you know, now faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for. You've got to have hope so to give faith, you know, to give substance to something. So hope is so important in every believer's life. And there's like four kinds of hope. There's hope of salvation. I'm not going to go into all the scriptures this morning because I'm really wanting to get to some other areas. But I'll just say there's the hope of eternal life. There is a living hope. And there's a hope that sets us free, which is a hope that overcomes. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. You know, when we talk about the salvation hope, the hope of eternal life, and the hope of salvation, there's one more, and it's called the hope of glory. This one's one of my favorites. Because the hope of glory, when God created Adam and Eve, and they fell in the garden. Remember, they said, you know, we were naked, you know, because we weren't clothed. They fell from the manifest presence of God. And they were clothed with his presence. So when you begin to read in the New Testament, actually he set it into motion in Genesis. But when you begin to read in the New Testament, Paul begins to pray and say, I'm wanting you to know these things. These are very important things in Ephesians, I believe it's the second chapter. It says, these are things that are so important, I want you to know them. I want you to know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power which he worked in us in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And so there's three things. One of those is the hope of his calling. When you look up, and you'll find it in this 1 Peter, the second chapter, it talks about the hope of his calling is that we've been called back to glory. Jesus Christ provided a way for us to come back into the manifest presence. We were created for the presence. We were created to live and to walk and move and have our being in the presence of God. And yet we live as believers so far from what our inheritance rights are, which is to experience him and to walk and live and move and have our being in him. So one of those that is, like I said, my favorite is the hope of his calling. Do you know it says that hope pulls back the veils and allows us to come into the very presence of God. I am a presence carrier. Now, I'm going to share something here, and I'm going to weave it in with this this morning. One of the most important things in my life that I value is that I love to set atmospheres. We are a people that do not have to live at the mercy of other people. We do not have to live at the mercy of the world. We do not have to, I mean, there's, right now things are in turbulence, right? Remember Psalms, what is it, 46, where it says, the nations are trembling, the waves are crashing, everything's shaking, there's rumblings, there's roarings, the waves, and then in the middle of it says, be still and know that I am God. And it goes back into the turmoil and the turbulence. We can train ourselves to live in that place of be still and know that I'm God, that we can walk. We're the tabernacle here in this earth. We now are the moving tabernacle of God. We carry the presence. We carry Him. I love to go into difficult situations and shift atmospheres. I've learned, you know, and it's a journey that we train ourselves in. It's not something we get overnight, you know, so don't beat yourself up. It's something that, you know, we learn through trial and error and through the Word and getting the Word in our lives and walking it out and learning how not to be subject to rejection of others, how not to be at the mercy of other people who are depressed, how not to be at the mercy of others who are just always in a bad mood. You know, but one of the things, and these are just simple things of my life that I've learned over the years. When I was in South Africa, I used to walk down the streets and see the Zulus. I had such a love for the Zulus and the African tribes. And they would just look straight. They wouldn't look at you, and they would just keep walking. And I said, Lord, I want to reach them. How do I reach them? He said, Dina, through the ministry of smiles. A smile will say more in one moment than sometimes words. So I began to train myself how to smile. Little did I know in training myself, anyone who knows me knows, they say, Dean, you sure do smile a lot. It's something I've trained myself in. Because did you know scientifically when you smile, it changes your chemical balance and you begin to immediately be happy? Okay, we're going to do a little test here, okay? Ready? 1, 2, 3, smile. And when did you not feel an instant shift, an internal shift in yourself when you smile? You can create an atmosphere for yourself just by smiling. You say, Dean, I don't feel like smiling. Well, sometimes I don't either. But when I smile, it shifts things and it causes me to feel and see through another perspective. So I begin to learn how to just smile at people and just let my eyes be kind and speak to people. But in the doing of that, I begin to realize I was setting my own atmosphere of joy, of peace, you know, of presence. And I love practicing. How many know Brother Lawrence? Have any of you ever read Brother Lawrence's book, Practicing the Presence of God? It's a classic. You should get it. Read it. A little monk that he lived his life, you know, to practice the presence. And he said that when he was called to prayer, it pulled him out of prayer. Do you know what I'm saying by that? He lived in the presence so much that people who did rituals to try to get the presence, it disrupted him because he lived in the presence. And I want to be a person, and I am, and I love it, because once you begin to practice this, it becomes a quest, it becomes a journey of life, to live in the presence. One of the things that hope that has helped me is hope and the prophetic. And I believe God is starting to release a prophetic word over this nation, because this nation needs hope. Some of the most difficult times of my life, I've pushed through because I had a word from the Lord. In fact, I got on the plane. I love planes. I got on the plane and we couldn't sit together. And so I was getting ready to sit down and this girl looks up at me that I'm going to be sitting next to. And she goes, I'm scared of flying and I have a fear of dying. That's the first thing she said to me. And I said, well, then you're sitting next to the right person. And I said, let me just tell you. And I sat down before we took off. I told her about Jesus. I told her that she's not going down because I have destiny over my life. I have a prophetic purpose. And that every time I fly for 34 years, I will speak the scripture going down the runway. Thank you, Lord, that your mercy extends to the heavens and your faithfulness to the clouds. And I proceeded to tell her, and I have died. I died when I was 18, honey. And let me tell you something. It's wonderful, but you've got a job to do here. And you can be sure that when you die, if you know Jesus, it's going to all be good. And she looked at me and went, wow. Do you think I might have shifted the atmosphere in those three seats? But it was, she was actually in the wrong seat. A man came up and said, I think you have my seat. She goes, I'm not moving. You know, one of my other values is what we're doing right now. And it's laughing. I make sure that I have a good, Miranda knows this, I have a good belly laugh at least once a day. But I have so many more than one. Because I love to laugh. Don't you? I love to laugh. I love to be around people that are joyful people. And, you know, I don't mind being around people that are sad, but I'm going to come in and we'll get their hearts and spirits up. But I'm not going to be pulled down and have my mood shifted because others are. I want to see people come into the fullness. And there is a joy and there's a hope that God is bringing to this nation to break this nation through, because you're going to break others through. And, you know, Jesus said, "For the joy that is set before me, I endured the cross." I always wondered what that meant until I was going through something in my life. And I said, well, actually, I knew it before this, but I remember thinking I was being misunderstood in a time and through a situation. I said, Jesus, and you guys, what I'm about to say, it's not, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but Jesus knows how to talk to me and relate with me. So I said, Jesus, this is so unfair. I said, I didn't even do it. And I'm getting blamed for something I didn't even do and being punished for something I didn't even do. He said, Dina, now you know how I felt. You know, we're to embrace the fellowship of his sufferings, but when you realize what he paid for, we realize we don't have to receive and live in the sting of it anymore. He already bore it for us. When you have the stake, you know, stabilized and sticked in the center of your heart, it is a shock absorber, and it will absorb the shock and the pain of life and of others. And so when you learn how to let that cross absorb it so that you can live free of all of the repercussions, because life happens, right? Life happens. But when you have hope based in that and you are on that foundation, you will not be moved. I'm going to give you a few scriptures because these are the ones that have really revolutionized my life. Like I told you, hope is visible. First Peter 3:15. It talks about when people come up to and ask you to give an account for the hope that is in you, how do they know it's in you? They've seen it. They hear it. They sense it. They feel it. You know, I love, and I've had this happen on many occasions and probably more than what I realize, but I want to live this more, where people come up and go, what is this? There's something different about you. In fact, I taught my students back in California at a school I taught there. I was teaching about the scripture that says we have a fragrance, you know, that scripture that says the fragrance of Christ that exudes from us. And I was talking about fragrance and this and that, and we have a fragrance of Christ in us. And I said, in fact, I'm just going to pray that, you know, and I prayed, Father, I just thank you that we can smell the fragrance and others will be able to smell the fragrance of Christ in us. And they left from there and went to a hospital to pray for somebody that they knew someone had said that, you know, they're in a hospital, you need to go pray for them. They said, they came back about an hour later and were going, oh my gosh, Dina, you won't believe what just happened. You won't believe what just happened. What? They said, we walked in and we opened the door and we were going down the hall, the three of us, you know, to go to the room. And all of a sudden, the nurse came out from behind, this is a true story, came out from behind the counter and started going, and they said, what are you doing? She goes, what is that smell I smell on you? It's wonderful. I smell something on you. You're different. They said, well, that just happened to be the scent and the aroma of God in our lives. And they went and prayed for the person. They got healed. You know, we carry far more than what these eyes see. Yet what happens is life begins to rob us by causing us to see bigger and more the negative around us and what's going wrong instead of what's going right. That's why the shift has to happen. We have to begin to train ourselves how to set atmospheres. We are the ark with the door and the window, being the Holy Spirit in Christ. People will run into our places, and not just this place. We need to get in the marketplace. That's what this church, that's why I love you guys. That's why I love working with Noel and all of you, because that's what you're doing. You're taking it out there and not waiting for people to come here. It doesn't happen like that anymore. God's doing a new thing, and we are going to invade the marketplace, the streets, the highways, byways. And sometimes it's not even in what you say. It's just that you bring a presence. You bring an atmosphere that people go, you're always happy. How do you do that? Have you ever had anybody ask you that? Why are you always happy? They're asking you to give an account of the hope that is in you. And so when we look at that in 1 Peter, and I'm going to give you another scripture. It says that hope produces godly living, 1 John. When you have hope, you are living with a bigger picture. I always talk about seeing the bigger picture. Well, the bigger picture is we have a hope of eternal life. And in knowing that this is not just about now, this is our dress rehearsal. This is it. I mean, we are walking through, and what we do now, as it says in the movies, you know, is going to determine, Gladiator, what we do for eternity. That actually is a true statement. That actually is actually a true statement. And I'll tell you why. I thought of this. I kept thinking of this morning so many times. And so I said, well, Lord, do you want me to tell that story? And I felt like the Lord said, yes, Ina, I want you to tell that story. For whatever reason, I believe it's more than one. You heard me say it a minute ago. I did. I died when I was 18. There was a mixture of drugs that somebody slipped me, and I didn't know it. And when it broke loose in my system, I remember where I was. I remember I laid down on a bed, and I began to feel life begin to drain out of me. And it was my spirit. It began to go down, and it came up. My arms came down, down, down. And my spirit literally came out of my body, at the bottom here. And I was above myself. I saw myself for a few moments, and then whoosh, I was in another realm. And I was ascending to the presence of Jesus. Why am I telling you this? Because at 12 years of age, I went down and accepted Christ in the First Christian Church and was baptized. And I did believe that he was the Son of God. I did believe that he died, you know, and was raised the third day. And I did confess and believed in my heart, and I was saved. But because of different things of life, it pulled me away through addictions and bondages and different things. And always, if anybody asked me, I wasn't afraid to confess that I knew him. I just didn't know how to break free to live for him, because that no one had ever told me about the power of the Holy Spirit. So here I am, 18 years old, and I'm ascending with an angel on my right-hand side escorting me to the presence of Jesus. I can't say that I walked down streets of gold or saw buildings or anything like that. It wasn't like that for me. But I did come up to the presence where he was in the midst of, the only way I know how to describe it was a brilliant light. He was light. He is light. And I heard his voice. You say, how do you know it was Jesus? Come on. Trust me. When he speaks to you, you know it's him. You know. There is no question. And he said, Dina, it's not time. You have to go back. Now, what I was experiencing at that moment was nothing that I've ever experienced on this earth. The pureness of the love that I felt, I get frustrated when I try to tell this story, because there are no English or any words in any language that can do it justice. All I can tell you is, I felt a joy that was so pure that our bodies here on earth could not handle it. The love was so divine and so complete and so righteous, so right, that there was nothing I know I could ever do that would turn him, you know, his heart against me. He, in fact, I like to say, he flat out adores me. He's wild about me. He loves me, you know, because I have felt that love. And when listen, there was a sound that was like a tinkling. And I remember when I came back, you know, about 2 or 3 years later, I said, Lord, I won't ever share this unless you prove to me what I experienced is in the Word. And one by one, he began to take me through the Word. And I was in Bible college one day, and Valerie Owens was speaking on the tabernacle. And I had experienced where I heard this little tinkling bell. And it wasn't abrasive. It was just like a little tinkling bell. And I thought, why am I hearing bells? Now, that sounds kind of funny to begin with. You know, why am I hearing bells? But people kept saying, oh, you couldn't have been going to heaven, Dina. You weren't living for God. You weren't living for him. You know, I've learned something through life. No man can judge a heart except God. My heart believed in him. And I had confessed him. And it says, when you're in the palm of his hand, no man can snatch you out. And, you know, because the enemy tried to destroy me, I believe because I had a calling from my mother's womb. You know, I have a generation of preachers and ministers and itinerants going back at 1700s. You know, I believe that there was a call in my life from my mother's womb. And so when I was there before him, he said, Dina, you must go back. Lord, I don't want to go back. I want to stay. Dina, you need to go back. But Jesus, I don't want to. I really want to stay. And he said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, Dina, you must will yourself back. See, what on earth does that mean? It meant I had a choice. I could have stayed. See, to this day, all these years later, but at the sound of his voice, I was constrained and compelled by the love of God and the sound of his voice. And I felt myself turning around, and I came back. I often think if I had chosen to stay, I would have missed you. You know, I would have missed this moment. You know, but I can also tell you, it's caused me to see life differently, live life differently, and see death differently. And I know there's going to be people in heaven that we don't think are going to be there. And people, some people that we think might be there might not be there. But I'm so grateful that's not my call. I'm so grateful that he knew. He knew. And he knew he had a purpose and a plan. And this is what I want to say to you. Every single person in this house this morning, God dreamed a dream for you. He has a purpose for every one of us under heaven. And when he births us into this world, he gives us every gift, every cluster of calling and gifting that we're ever... He gives us the measure of faith, all the faith we're ever going to need to do what he's dreamed for us to do. I like to say, I love making my father's dreams come true. Because when I make his dreams come true, mine come true. You know, I've dreamed of being able to have Miranda and years ago, seeing us working together. We've traveled over the years, but this is my first time to see her in quite a while. I've dreamed of being able to come to Ireland. I'm always going, I dreamed of this moment. I've dreamed of this because I love to dream. If you can dream it, he can do it. And I think what happens so often with the absence of hope is people stop dreaming. People stop believing. People say, I have a dream list. I don't call it my bucket list. I've been doing a dream list for many years. And I can remember the first thing I ever set my heart and sights on to dream for it that was released and God did for me. But it's my 100 things I want to do in my lifetime list. And I just keep doing them and checking them off and adding more to and checking them off. And it's not spiritual and secular. It's all God. Because he loves us to dream. And I really, you know, in hope, that's what hope produces. It produces the ability to dream. Let me give you a couple of scriptures, and then I want to close with something God revealed to me yesterday on a boat. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8, talks about the anchor of hope. And hope is an anchor. And when you look at just when you do a word study on it, I love word studies, that word anchor, it actually... when you look it up in some of the definitions and resource books, it says it's like an umbilical cord. And so when we're anchored with hope, it's like we are connected to God, and it stabilizes us. So that when winds come, difficulties come, sad times come, hardships come, it says it holds us steady, and it's connected to our soul, and it goes down, but it also goes up to God, and it holds us where we need to be emotionally. That's why, I'm just going to say it when... I don't know. I have such a burden right now in my life and it's been here for several months since the first time I came here. We are going to gather a corporate collective anointing, and we are going to hit and take down this spirit of suicide over this nation. I have drawn a line in the sand, and I have declared war in my own heart, and Miranda too, because we listened to a prophecy that Kim gave her 2004, saying that God was going to use her to come against suicide over youth. You know, I believe God is releasing hope. He's releasing words. He's releasing strategies. He's releasing people to come together for such a time that, and you say, is that possible? Absolutely it's possible. Absolutely it's possible. We're going to shift the culture. We're going to shift the identity. We're going to shift the identity of this nation. The identity of this nation is not a nation of suicide. It's a nation of hope. This is the island of hope. This is the island of hope. This is Hope Island. And people are going to begin to come here in order to have a download and in order to have a breakthrough in their own lives for hope. And so when you look, one of the other, we sang it this morning, Ezekiel, the dry bones. I love this verse because it says, that hope is lost. Our bones are dried and we've lost our way. But can these bones live again? Yes, they can. Absolutely. Because there's hope. Hope is everything. Job talks about driving out fear and bringing rest, because it says we're like a tree that is planted by a river that puts down its roots. Now listen to this. It says, when the heat comes, not if, when heat comes, it shall still be fat and flourishing and producing in the midst of a drought or heat or whatever. When the battles come, when the opposite spirit comes, it doesn't shift us. We shift it, because our roots are down and rooted and grounded. And we create atmosphere, hello, with shade for others to come and run to come into our atmosphere where they can connect with God and hear God. And I love, you know, I'll go into a place and I'll go, I'm going to let you have a little window into my world. Okay, I'm going to pull back the curtains. I'll go in and I'll say, you know, Lord, where are the angels in the room? Or what are you saying to this house? What are you doing in different people's lives? Where are you moving in this situation? Lord, and I've been harping on this the whole time I've been here. I just need to either be quiet, be still. I want to go to one of the wells in Ireland. I call them wells, spiritual wells. I want to download. I want an impartation. God, you're going to speak to me. I'll go do things and I'll say, God, speak to me in this moment. I want to hear what you say in this moment. Because I'm a mystic, and you know what a mystic is? It's not something weird. A mystic in the Seafarer Dictionary, are you ready for this? How many of you know what a mystic is? Anybody? Okay, I'm going to tell you. In the Seafarer's Dictionary, a mystic is one who stood on the front of the ship and looked through the fog in order to call the directions out to the captain. Okay? So for me, mystics are seers. It's a prophetic gifting to see. Some people have it naturally. I can train people to see. If I can train believers to see, you can hear. If you can see, you can hear. Or flip it. If I train you to hear, you'll be able to see. And so yesterday we were on a boat, going around the lock, you know, and there were some babies on the boat, and they were crying, and I just was desperate to be still and know God. And so I thought, I'm just going to go to the front of the boat. I'm just going to go to the front of the boat. So I walked up to the front of the boat, and nobody was there. And the wind hit me, and it was just one of those moments where I'm looking around at the shores and the rolling hills and the you know, everything that was on the, you know, as we were going through. I'm standing there, and the wind is blowing me right in my face, and I'm just going, Jesus, thank you. I feel you in this moment, Holy One. I love you. And would you just talk to me right now as I'm standing here? And I begin to look around. You know, and I'm waiting, because I've learned, just wait, it'll come. It'll come. And I see through circumstances around me. So a lot of times he'll speak to me. I call them the windows of God. It's every day. You can have windows of God every single day. He'll pull the curtains back and go, look through here. I want to show you something. So I'm looking, and all of a sudden the captain comes up to me out of nowhere, and he goes, ma'am, he said, would you like my binoculars? I said, really? Oh, my goodness, because we weren't seeing any castles. It was visibly a castle tour, you know. And I was like, where are the castles? He goes, I'm sorry, you probably won't see any. And I go, oh, that's okay. You know, but later he came up to me and goes, here, use my binoculars. I said, thank you. That means so much to me. So he walks away. I pull the binoculars up. And the minute I put them to my eyes, I hear the voice of God say, Dina, I've called you as a mystic to call mystics to the front of the boat in Ireland. I'm calling the seers to see. And I'm calling the mystics to perceive so that they can see through the fog of the times, through the fog of the difficulties, and they begin to call out to the others where to go and how to maneuver through the difficult times. Dean, I need the prophetic companies to begin to rise up and see through the fog. I'm like going, this is the most amazing thing. And the day before, I had put on a CD, well, on my iPod for them to listen to, which is an old Van Morrison song. Okay, yes, I admit, I listen to old music. And it was Into the Mystic. Anybody know that song? Yes. That song is about mystics standing on the front of the boat, seeing through. You know, hear the fog wind, the foghorn blow, you know, and the breeze blow, and, you know, into the mystic. And so I put the head, I thought, this is it. He's talking. This is my moment. It's coming. Here's the well. I put the headphones on. I put the binoculars up, and I begin to look. And, you know, God was saying, Dina, through the binoculars, those are my eyes, to see further than just right here in front of you, to see further than the depth. to see further than the suicides, to see further than the problems, because there's a bigger picture. There's always a bigger picture, always, every single time. And so I'm looking and I'm going, what is it, Lord? And I'm hearing this and it's just so overwhelming. So he starts speaking to me about different things. I think, I've got to share this with Miranda. I go, call Miranda up here. So Miranda comes up. And I explain it to her. I put them on her. She starts looking, and I can tell God's just hitting her, you know. She's getting rocked. And all of a sudden, the captain comes back, and this is God. He said, I feel like I'm just supposed to tell you. He goes, see those two pillars down there? And I'm looking, and he goes, you see them? They're two pillars. They're way down there on the other side. I go, I see them. And this is what he said. I wish I could play it. I recorded it and made him say it again for me because it was such a word for this nation. He said, do you see those two pillars? He said, the old captains know how to read them. He said, when they're two, you will crash upon the high ground, upon the rocks, and your boat will be grounded. He said, but when you line the two pillars up to become one, he said, it will lead you into the deep waters, and it will guide you through the lock to the port. And he said, it's an ancient pillars. They were built in the 1700s. He said, the young ones don't know how to read them. He said, but the older captains understand them. He said, no iPod, no iPhone. And he named all the, he said, none of those are going to lead you in. He said, but those two pillars are proven and foolproof. If you line them up, he goes, I'm going to line them up for you. He said, you will not go aground. And you will go into the deep waters, be still, and know that I'm God. The deepest waters are the stillest waters. Where it goes deepest, that's where it's the stillest. And one of my names, my grandmother, her maiden name was Threlkeld. Threlkeld means keeper of the waters. My grandfather, when he moved to Kentucky, I guarantee you he didn't know this, but he became a lock keeper. That he set water levels in the natural for ships to come and go. God has called my sister and I, because they're all in the ministry, to set water levels for the believers and for nations to rise and come to be led into where God wants. I've come here to set water levels. You say, that's a bold statement. No, I'm just Dina. I mean, it has nothing to do with me personally. I just understand the gifting of God in my life. And so I want to raise the water levels, and I want to call out to the captain, and I want to call out to others to see through the fog. Let's find our way. And when I was standing there, we were just getting wrecked, and I was starting to cry because it was so powerful. And I said, you know, Miranda, these two pillars, when they become one, the two, the division, and the different things, when those line up and become one, it'll lead you through. I believe that can be in so many different areas. One, most importantly, I believe one of those pillars is hope. You know, maybe it might be something I can call things out, but God might develop it and help you. But I do know this, there is a prophetic company that God is bringing to the forefront and beginning to train in this nation. He's going to begin to bring more prophets and raising them up within this nation and bringing them to this nation, because this nation needs to hear hope. Prophetic is not to tell you what sin you're in. That's not the purpose of prophetic. Prophetic is to call up your purpose. It's to call up your destiny. It's to call up what God created you to be and raise the bar so you can go, God loves me and I have value and I was created to do a particular thing. Like I said, those are the things you guys can come up that have kept me going through the years, and the most difficult times of my life is going back to my prophetic words. We all go through difficult times, don't we? We all do. But the thing is, in those difficulties and in those times, not to lose your way, not to lose sight of the pillars. You know, years ago, there's another place in the Mediterranean that has three that you line up and it brings you into the port. Is to say, you know the will of God, because one of them will be the word, inward witness, and circumstances. But in this one for Ireland, it's so much more. There are two pillars God's lining up. The mystics are being called to the front of the ship, to begin to see through it and to begin to declare what individual purposes and corporate collective purposes are. I was sharing with Miranda and I told her, you know, more or less what I was feeling God was wanting to do. And she said, Dina, was it Kim and you and your sister wrote this song? And She said, I feel like this will really fit. Now, here's what I want to encourage you to do. There's a power in song. It goes where it's like, I can deliver the word, but music goes. It's an international key. It will go deeper than even what my words can go. Truly. And so as they begin to sing, this is our time of ministry. Because as I've been speaking, how many of you have God been speaking to specifically? Raise your hands. About catching hold of. In fact, how many prophetic people do we have in this house right here that you know you have a prophetic gift? I want to declare to you right now, stand up, and I just want to pray over you right now. Father, I call forth the prophetic company, and I thank you that you're giving them eyes to see and ears to hear in this hour, and that no one will move on their own. For Father, true New Testament prophetic people are people that move in team and in company with one another in relationship. So, Father, I thank you that you're grooming them, you're training them, and you're raising them up for such a time as this to begin to declare out purpose that this is Hope Island. This is the island of hope. Ireland is the island of hope, that we call forth hope and not hopelessness and despair, that there is a new joy coming to Ireland, that there is new purpose, that, Father, these will be the ones that are seen through the fog. So, Father, I thank you. You are setting things in place to take them to the next level. Next level moments, Lord God, are coming. Next level downloads. And right now in this house, there are upgrades in the atmosphere. You reach out and take the upgrades. You may be seated. There's others that you have been personally affected by loss and by some of the suicides and some of the things that have really stolen and are trying to steal a generation. And so raise your hand if that's you. Raise your hand. I just want to say to you, take hold. Miranda has an anointing, so does Ricky, that as they begin to play, God wants to bring new hope. He wants to take away the despair, the sadness, the hopelessness, and even just, Lord God, the regrets of, you know, of the struggle to move beyond, to move from. And he wants to raise up a highway. Lower the mountains and bring the valleys up. He's creating new pathways for many of you who've been in the valley of weeping. I believe there's an anointing here as they get ready to play that will break depression. Fiona, our friend. Many years ago, I was in one of the darkest moments of my life, and this is important. I'm going to finish with this. I had traveled too much. I had burned out. I had gone to America, and I came back to South Africa. I was trying to homeschool my kids, which that's not what God called me to do, but I was doing it to catch them up, and I thought that's all I could do at that point. And I was in such darkness. I cannot even describe it. Those who've ever been in depression, you know what I'm talking about. I was just like, could somebody just come tell me there's light somewhere? And Fiona, our dear friend, came over, knocked at my door, came in and said, Dina. I said, what? She goes, God spoke to me and told me to come over here and tell you something. You're not called to the two. You're called to the thousands. She said, your children are going to do just fine. Get them back in school, in our schools, and you get back to doing what God called you to do, because that's why God created you. And it was like when that word came, it was like, I don't know, you guys, I should have known that. But it was like permission granted. God says it's okay. I did it in that moment. And when she spoke the word, my darkness shifted to light. That was a prophetic word. It changed my course. We have the ability to give that to those we cross paths with. I wish somebody would have given it to Robin Williams. You know? They're everywhere. That we rub up against them every day that are just waiting to hear good news. My good news at that time in my life, and I said, Lord, I will forever have a heart towards people that battle depression, because once you've been there, you get it. You know, and I want to say to you, there is a light at the end of your tunnel. It's not another train coming. It is the light of God. And there is life after depression. There is life after loss. You know, there is life after grief. And the Holy Spirit will bring you through, and he will bring you out. And you will come out of the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. And you will turn into a pool of springs, and you will make it count. You'll make the enemy pay for everything he's ever done. You've already begun. Precious. And it is a national thing. I believe this seed has gone into the ground, and it wasn't God, and we know that. but it is going to bring, your husband's life is going to bring forth so much fruit. So much fruit, and it's already begun to this nation. We're going to make the enemy regret the day he ever did that. And not only that, I believe it's the seed of hope. This is the Spirit of the Lord right now, that it is a seed of the first fruits of hope that is going to just ripple through this country and even go into countries beyond, that it will be a testimony and it will be a catapulting of shifting this the mindset and the eyes that you are a mystic. You are one on the front of that ship, that even in your grief, you're seeing through the fog. And I just want to say to you, God says he's pulling you to his breast, and you can lean into him. And you can weep, you can cry. There's a day coming where you will stand in a different place. But God is got you in his hand, and he's guiding you. There is a payback that's coming, and it's already begun. So guys, go for it, and just reach out and receive what the Lord has for you.
Voice, and you know, God has destiny for each and every one of you, and there's other words in the song. I surrender to you, I surrender to your love, to your peace, to your joy, and to your hope. We're gonna sing today, and so you have a choice. Your soul has a choice today to surrender and give it to him and cling to him. And we have another song that we do to a much more upbeat feeling, but it's that you're somewhere in the future. And you look much better than you look right now. And we always say that. Say, I'm somewhere in the future. And I look much better than I look right now. And I believe that Ireland is in the future. And it looks so much better than it looks right now. And it's got great, great, great things ahead for the children of this nation, the future generation. And we really do strongly believe that. So I'm going to ask you to stand up with us again and just open up your heart. Make that choice today. Open up your heart. Cling to him. You'll hear all these words in the song. It's going to be great. I give you my hand. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. And I give you my praise. It's all I have. It's all I've got to give to you. In my pain, so I open my hands and I open up my heart. I surrender these fears that have torn us apart. It's all I have. It's all I've got to give to you in my pain. 'Cause you touched me and you made a way for me to come boldly. All you want from me is my heart. So I let go of anything that's holding me back. I surrender to your love. The words that I bring and this song that I sing, more precious than gold, for they come with my tears. It's all I have. It's all I've got, yeah, to give to you in my pain. I give you my life. Come on, sing it with me. I give you my breath. My soul made this choice to be one with your voice. It's all I have, it's all I've got to give to you in my pain, yeah. 'Cause you touched me and you made a way for me to come boldly. All you want from me is my heart. So I let go of anything that's holding me back, and we surrender to your love. We surrender to your peace, yeah. We surrender to your joy, 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 joy. We surrender to your life. We surrender to your home. We surrender to you. To your grace, we surrender to what you're gonna do. We surrender to you. Say, I give you my life, and I give you my breath. My soul made this choice to be one with your voice. It's all I have. Beautiful. It's all I've got to give to you in my pain. You're all I have. You're all I've got. So I cling to you. Pain. Sing that out with me this morning. You're all I have, and you're all I've got. I cling to you in my pain. You're all I have. Come on, sing. You're all I got. You're all I. All I've got, I cling to you in my pain. Jesus, you're all I have. You're all I've got. I cling to you in my
pain. Amen, Jesus. We just thank you. Just want to go into that song. I know the song done for the kids and all, but just surrender be. But if we just go there, I need to just inform us of something. There's some things that you get to do as a pastor that is amazing. There's some things that you don't like. And I need to make this announcement to you today. Peter Fitzgerald, who's been their executive pastor for the last 3 years, and also he's not dead, don't worry, and he was served in this church for 15 years, and Peter feels in this season that his season in Liberty is up, and his season in Liberty and in God is over, and he's moving on to a new season. And I want to say that it might be a shock to you. We've been talking over the last while, me and Peter. We are in agreement in God. And he wished he would have been here this morning. He wished you here this morning. Would you believe it? But Peter's mother-in-law died yesterday, or Friday, or Thursday, forgive me. And so Peter is obviously with his wife. And I need to tell you some things, because I know as Irish, right? There's nothing wrong. Thanks be to God. And there's no friction. There's no division. It's a season in God. And seasons come and seasons go. In fact, myself and Peter was together last Monday, and we had a 2-hour window because Peter's mother-in-law could have gone any minute. And so we knew that time was precious. And an hour and a half, we talked about the Lord. 30 minutes about how we announce it and how we, all of that stuff. And yesterday at the funeral, we met and we talked again. And Peter said this to me. He says, "No, you know Peter for illustrations." He said, "No, he's been waiting on God and he knows there's a season of God for him." But he says, "No, you know what it's like? And the Lord gives you illustrations, it brings you peace. Because you're going into a season and sometimes we don't want to be in seasons." But he says, "Do you ever see someone building a house? And they lay the foundation. And that team goes off to lay another foundation somewhere. He says, that team is not there when the roofs is getting put on or the windows is getting put in. Because they're going to do another job." He says, "That's what it's like now. I've done my time in Liberty. But can I tell you, he has served me wholeheartedly. With everything that he could. He served this church and the vision of this church wholeheartedly. And we wanted him here this morning to honor him. And if you know Peter, we only found out when his birthday was, would you believe, in the last couple of months. And I know him 15 years. He didn't want birthday cards. He doesn't want celebration. He's like, no, come on." He says this. He says, "Liberty is my family. And now I'm moving to the wider family." So he says, "Will you just please tell the people there's no awkwardness when you meet them. There's no nothing that we're just in a wider family." And I want to read an email that he sent me. You can't phone Peter. I text him, I tell you why. Only Peter. You know, he had an iPhone, church iPhone. But he was telling the dog to go out the back garden. And as he was telling the dog to go, so went the phone. So he has no phone at the minute. And so if you want to contact him, please feel free to do so through email or whatever means. If you haven't got his email address, just send it in the info here, info@libertychurch, and we'll make sure. It's not the last time we're going to see Peter or anything like that. But that, I want to read this to you. When I met Peter first 15 years ago, in fact, him and Rob came to Liberty at the same time. And both of them was much younger, and their hairs were darker. And I says to Peter, because if someone coming from a depth of Christianity, I don't want you just to come to church and sit there and do nothing. I says to Peter, what can you offer at Liberty? We're a new church, I'm a new pastor. He says, "I guarantee you this now, I'll pray for you." And yesterday when we were talking, he says, "No, I was reminded of all that time back." He says, "I guarantee you, brother, I'll be praying for you. I will honor you in every conversation. And vice versa." But he says this, trying to help me with the announcement, because he knows it's not easy. He says, "First, I want to thank you, Noel, for your passion and love for the gospel, which was attracted me to Liberty in the first place. And all I've seen is a growing and never a baby. Been at Liberty for well over a decade, and I've been honored to be part of its vision to reach the city and beyond. Now, if you know Peter, this is his word. In the Lord, I feel my season and Liberty has come to an end. But I've made some real and valued friendships during my time here, and I know these will last way beyond this. Even though I will be fellowshipping elsewhere, here's a Peter statement, as the Spirit leads. Liberty will always be part of my wider Christian family. And I'm sure in the future, there will be times of warm and blessed fellowship with the Lord Jesus." You say amen. Someone says to me, because our elders know this, and our directors know this last couple of weeks, must be something wrong. Forgive me, something wrong. And if I can think anything else, you actually call it Peter and Lord. So I'm relieving you of anything. I'm relieving you of any little things. And we're going to pray now for Peter. We're going to pray for his family during this day. please do contact me. Please do send your condolences to heaven and pass them on to man. It's been a long battle for them. So let's stand. People says, Noel, how are you going to get through this? Look, I want to tell you this. I know this in 25 years. The kingdom moves on. If I kick the bucket, if I pass away on the way home, if I leave this place, believe me, the kingdom doesn't stop for anybody. I've learned that. How do you feel, Noel? Alive? At peace? Because if God is supposed to be peace. If it's His season, His time. So don't let them rob you of the joy and the peace. Amen. If you have any questions, please make sure you see the elders. If you've had arrangements with Peter, please come and see me. If there's things you've been involved in, you go, what do I do now? Please see me at one of the elders. We'll point you in the right direction. So, Father, the reason why I wanted this, that last bit about surrender, it's just very light. 2 weeks ago in America, I'm in a conference, 12,000 people. A man gives a call, your name down your line. I was up on the balcony, we sat in Sharon. We walked down, we get on our knees. And I looked at Sharon and I said, Sharon, the last time I was on my knees with you in an altar call was the night we gave our lives to Jesus. 25 years ago. And we both said, Jesus, you can have this life and you can use it in any way for your glory. We surrender our lives to you again afresh. And that's just in that way. In the midst of this last 2 weeks, everything that has brought us. It's a small, it's a moving on, it's a new season. We just surrender all to your arms. You're our hope, you're our future. It's your hopes and plans and your seasons that we love, Lord. You know my statements. You know it. You've said it over and over again. Find out the season you're in. Get what you need to get out of that season that you're in, and then get out of that season that you're in. There's another season in God's. And we just appreciate our brother Peter, Lord. We know he's not here physically, Lord, but we appreciate everything that he has done. The honor, Lord, Lord, you know I've said this to him privately. I want to say this to him publicly. There's two men in my life that had a profound effect, Gar Davidson and Bob Moynihan. And I've told Peter consistently over these years that he has had as much input in my life as any of those two. I can't give Peter a higher honor than that. I've told him, I told him privately over years, and I told him I was going to say it publicly, because I can clearly say that. And Lord, we just pray everything back on him.
Yes.
Everything he's ever done, given, encouraging word, every challenging word. As Peter says, every blunt word. But we don't give them back up to him, Lord. We just pray everything, Lord, that you just bless him and fall to any fall on. Be with him in heaven at this time, Lord. Be with his lovely family, Lord, at this time, Lord. Hold him close to yourself, Father. Hold him close. And we pray that as he's waiting on you this season, Lord, that he would know the clear footsteps of God. He would know the order of God. Lord, he is a mystic. And we just pray, Lord, that wherever he lands in you, Lord God, that he would be on the front of the ship, Lord. Lord, seeking your face, seeking the way forward. That's what we know he is, Father. We pray that you give him a great place, Lord. A great space for all of your amazing grace. We bless him in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to sing this song just as an act of service. Brandon, you please lead us. Or sing it whichever you don't know the words.
You touched me and you made a way for me to come boldly. All you want from me is my heart.
5 years, 5 weeks, 2 years in the Lord's. Lord, I give you the rest.
So I let go of everything that's holding me back. I surrender to your love. I surrender to your peace. I surrender to your joy. I surrender to your life. we surrender to your hope. We surrender to you. We surrender to you. Our hearts are open wide. We surrender to your move. And we surrender to your will. We surrender to you.
Yes, Lord, we surrender, Lord, to you, to your plans, to your future. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for calling us to the front line. Let us, Lord, be the ones that wave the banner of hope, Lord, in this city, in this nation, Lord. Lord, to every key person that we meet, Lord God, that we will always be ready. We will always, Father. Be on the front foot and give the reason for the hope that we carry, Father. I speak of your people, your great people, as people that I love, Father. I just pray over you, the blessing of God, the love of God, the hope of God, the joy of Almighty God, over you and in you and out of you, in the name of Jesus. I pray that this week, as we heard this morning of 30 young people giving their life to Jesus, I pray that this week will be full of salvation stories, prophetic stories through each of our lives this week. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, Lord. And we thank you. Guys, Dina and John, I'm looking forward to hearing what's going to happen up in Clondalkin this evening at 6 o'clock. Please come and be ministered to, and then we fill that auditorium up there if possible. Volumes come and all that always come, we can fill that place up this night. And let's, if any place needs a message of hope, it's our Clondalkin. Come this evening. If you've never come before, come this evening, 6 o'clock in Quarry Vale. And stand tonight with this message of hope for the whole of Clondalkin in Jesus' name. Amen. See Paul Martin for your ticket for Ray Ewers. Don't miss out on that ticket. Enjoy your cup of coffee and that downstairs. Amen. Thank you, Miranda.
Thank you.